keep them alive.
Well, that's a good one here.
Yeah.
Because if you don't train, you will not live.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fight like you train.
Fight like you train.
That's good.
Whoa, that's good. That's good.
Out of the mouth of one who experienced.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
to weed out the bad from the good.
But what else?
Weed out the bad from the good.
Okay. All right. All right. So all of these answers are right.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not hearing the purpose that the men are getting.
To kill
him. He's trying to kill me. He hates me. He does all. You guys have gotten some insight. You know, he's trying to help them.
Yes,
right?
He's trying
to keep them alive, to train them, to fight like they're trained, you know, all these things. So there seems to be a disconnect here between what they think his purpose is and what his purpose actually is. Right? There seems to be a disconnect here. Now, later on, okay, you might find that those same recruits, a year down the road when they've been in battle, you know, they look back with fondness at that drill instructor. Boy, I'm glad he did what he did to me. Because of what he did to me, as Gwen says, you know, I can stay alive, like Mary said. Uh-huh. I can fight like I was trained.
Uh-huh.
All these things keep me alive.
It's for their good.
It was for their good. Yes. But they saw it as bad.
But they saw it as bad.
Uh-huh.
They saw it as bad.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it is the, let's just say it's the ignorance of the recruit to think that he should resist his boot camp sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Mm-hmm.
It's his ignorance because he doesn't know what it takes to be a fighting man and to stay alive on the battlefield.
Yeah, war.
Yeah.
And
you don't understand war.
Yeah. And the boot camp instructor does.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it's his ignorance. A year later, he's gotten a lot smarter, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, boy, you know, good old Sergeant so-and-so, you know.
Well, see, they don't really understand the enemy either.
Okay, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Don't understand the enemy. That's another one.
We do that sometimes, too.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, how does that play into our Christian life? How does that play in to submission? Because 1 Peter, Peter in his letter here, 1 Peter, he's all about submission.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
In 1 Peter 2, he says we should submit to the higher authorities, to the emperor, to the king, right? And then he goes on down, all right? He talks about service. He talks to service. He says we should submit to our masters, right? Servants should submit to their masters. Now, I've discovered, and maybe y'all can pick this up, I've discovered that often when you run into the word servant in the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
it really is helpful to say, take that word servant, instead of using servant, use employee.
Mm-hmm.
Employee.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Gwen's smiling about that one. Yeah. Is that right or wrong, Gwen?
No.
No? Okay. All right. Tell me about it.
Yeah, it doesn't work that way.
Doesn't work that way, okay.
But anyway.
You
what's the difference?
Cannot be a servant, go through all that that the drill sergeant has for you.
Ah.
Oh.
You can't be a servant and do that? Okay. You have to be an employee?
Can't be an employee.
You can't be an employee. You have to be a servant.
Right.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. All right. That's a key difference. The reason I say that is because we don't have servants around much, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We don't really have, you know, we think in terms of employer, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're right, it's not an exact analogy there, mm-hmm. but it helps me to understand how obviously.
Especially that one place.
Does servant work for that, in that case?
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
Does servant work for the
recruit?
Yeah.
A servant, what did you say?
The servant work for, is an analogy for a recruit.
Sometime. Or a drill sergeant. Which one are you?
Sometimes it's an analogy, but most of the time it's not.
It's not, okay.
What is the better analogy? Is there any?
No.
Okay. But let's go ahead and explore this. What does it mean, even if you're a servant or whatever, all right? And we know that they use the term servant for household servants, the butler, the maid, okay, this sort of thing. But they also use that same term. A general might use that same term for one of his officers, you know? In fact, a general might come to a king and say, I am your servant, you know? Say someone, a neighboring king might come to someone and say, I am your servant. Your servant does this, your servant does that. So apparently it talked about someone who's in submission to someone else. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, he's right, employee doesn't quite do it because an employee can do what?
Do
what he wants. He can quit.
An option.
You're right. That's exactly right about that because an employee can do that. So it doesn't
you
exactly
do that, but you won't get paid.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
There are
consequences of walking off the job.
That's just a practical application.
And you do that too many times, and nobody will hire you. You won't be employed anywhere.
Sure.
And so, but the idea is that sometimes when someone is giving harsh commands, treating you badly, they're trying to get you to do something. All right? Mm-hmm. It's going to help you. Now,
well, that's the way it is with the parent and the child. The child will look at the parent when he's disciplining the child as his enemy. The child will look at it, you just want to cramp my lifestyle. You don't want me to do nothing. You don't want me to hang out with the, you know, I mean, and the list go on and on, just try to make you feel bad. You know, but really, you know what's out there. And you know you're trying to help this child. But he don't see him. All he see, you want to have fun.
In First Peter here, he uses a couple of words. He uses be subject to. He also uses submit. All right. I thought we'd look at those two words. In English, subject means owing allegiance or obedience to the power or dominion of another. Okay? Owing obedience to someone else. Submit means to accept or yield to a superior force or to the authority or will of another person. Okay? So, to be subject to means to, you have a position. You have a position where you owe obedience. Submit is actually obeying that person. Okay.
In other words, that's a higher form. Obedience.
It's kind of the same thing. One is a position, and then the other one is a verb. What is that? I accept that I'm subject to this other person, I'm going to obey them. The other one is you are subject to them, and you better obey them. But submit means I actually am going to do that.
I will
obey to them. Okay.
The soldiers signed on. They willingly became.
Unless
they were drafted, they signed in.
You know, the military sometimes has problems at boot camp because they will have people there who will not submit to the commands of the boot camp sergeant. Okay? And so they get weeded out. Who was that that said? see if they fit the mold. See if they pass the muster. Yeah. So someone said that, but anyway. It's something that's important because in the Old Testament, God was constantly talking to the Israelites and saying, you will not submit to me. You will not obey me. You will go your own way. All right? Instead of learning my ways, you want to go your own way. And it reminded me of a verse that I wanted to tell you about. Apparently I didn't write it down here. But it's from Isaiah 53, Isaiah 53, verse 6. And it says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Mm-hmm. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Well, who is him?
Jesus,
right? Yeah. And so he's constantly, through Isaiah, through all the prophets, he's constantly saying, don't go your own way, go my way. Mm-hmm. I've got something good in mind for you. Mm-hmm. All right? Maybe you don't understand the purpose of my commands now. Maybe you don't understand what I'm trying to achieve. Maybe you don't understand my purpose, but I've got something good in mind for you.
It's something good, but when you look at all the principles of the kingdom of God, they go all against the natural.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, you know, it just go against the natural man. Everything, you know, the kingdom of darkness go, and that's the kingdom we're used to living in. So I heard one man say, I want to get saved, but I'm going to have to wait, because his echo was that salvation is going to cramp my life. I won't be able to have fun. You know, I won't be, you know, God said do this. But little did he know, getting into salvation, it gives you more life, mm-hmm. abundant life. Yeah. It don't cramp your life that mm-hmm. you can't do nothing, yep. you know. Mm-hmm. But it gives you abundant life.
You can do so much more.
Yeah.
It really does.
Well, you're absolutely right in that living in the kingdom requires us to change your mindset. It requires yep. us to grow in knowledge.
That's
and
true.
We've been talking about that. Later talk about growing knowledge, growing mm-hmm. knowledge. So you can learn God's ways. So we can mm-hmm. learn God's ways. And when we grow in knowledge, and we get to that certain point, we get out of boot camp, we actually get into locking horns with the enemy, then we can go back and say, boy, I'm really glad.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
I had to change my mind, and I'm thinking a different way now.
Yeah.
So I can live a different way.
Yes.
Right? So, yeah, this is an important thing. This is an important thing. Of course, we've been working with some of the Chinese folks that come mm-hmm. over here and talking to them and learning about how the Chinese live their lives, daily lives. And they're talking about that. This is today's Chinese. This is not, you know, 50 years ago, 60, 70, 80 years ago Chinese. They've changed a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Their children are not like their grandparents
no.
at all.
Mm-hmm.
And they live a lot like us. But I've discovered there is one key difference. Now, this difference is changing a little bit, but it's still pretty much there. If you look at the Asian culture, their culture is to submit for the good of all.
Mm-hmm.
They see the good of whatever happens, what's good for China is good for me. So I want to do what's good for China mm-hmm. or whatever country they're in, whatever group they're in. What's good for the family is good for me. So they see their purpose, their identity, okay, is being wrapped up in the totality of the people. Mm-hmm. Right, not just individual.
Yep.
In the United States, our culture is actually almost the opposite of that. We're individualistic, all right? We want to do what's best for me, mm-hmm. okay? What's best for me, that's what I want to do, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, why are we so different from them, okay? Because if you think about it, in the past, European culture in the Middle Ages was pretty much similar to Asian culture. You know, we had to keep everything going to protect us from enemies and this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll give you a little history lesson. As it turns out, along the way, the kings and the authorities over the Europeans, people, got so arrogant and just so out of control that the people just had to rebel against mm-hmm. them. And the rebellion happened actually before that, and that was in the church. The Catholic Church had become so corrupted, so out of control,
mm-hmm.
that people just had to say, you know, this isn't God. We need to get back to worshiping God. We mm-hmm. need to get back to doing His ways,
mm-hmm.
because the Catholic Church ways is not right.
That's true.
And so that's where that began. Mm-hmm. And so we're very individualistic in American culture because of that heritage. Mm-hmm. We want to be able to worship God as we think the Bible says we should.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. And so that is good. I agree with that. I'm a product of that. And I do that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to worship God the way God says to worship.
Yeah. Okay?
And anything that says, don't do that, I want to get that out of my life. You know, mm-hmm. anything that doesn't worship God the way he wants to be worshipped, obey him, I want to get that out of my life. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't want to go somewhere where someone's teaching me that either. You know? Mm-hmm. So this is one of the things that we have to look at when we look at submission mm-hmm. and we look at being subject to as we read through 1 Peter.
Yeah.
As we read through 1 Peter and we look at this, we want to be aware, we want to be sure that we're looking at this correctly, all right? Mm-hmm. And so as we go through the rest of 1 Peter, he talks about being, you know, service being subject to your masters, wives subject to your husbands, mm-hmm. all this sort of thing. We need to look at this and realize there's things that God wants to teach us. And this is really, it really all points to our being submissive to God.
Yeah.
And doing what he says. Mm-hmm. Has God ever told you something that when you first heard it, you thought, and that ain't the way I ought to be going? I mean, I have. Mm-hmm. I mean, he tells me something, I'm going, is that God? You know, first thing you ask, right? Is that God? Am I hearing right? Because mm-hmm. I'm not hearing something that sounds reasonable to me. Mm-hmm. But you wind up eventually doing it. Mm-hmm. And then later on, you look back and you say, that was God.
Yeah.
That was God.
Yeah. That was God. I'm glad that was I did God. That because that was God. Now I'm a little bit smarter. I've got a little bit more knowledge. Peter wants us to get. I've got a little bit more knowledge, and now I can look back and say, you know, I've got to learn to trust God.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've Amen. Got to Amen. Learn
to trust him, and whatever he says, just do it.
Yeah.
That's the key thing in a drill sergeant or somebody. You don't trust him.
Yeah.
You really don't trust him. You think that they're out to do you harm, not do you good. But see, one thing you have to realize, when you go in the Army and then you don't realize you sign a paper that say, hey, you can have my life. Mm-hmm. You ain't control my life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then if you decide why you in there, you don't want them in control of your life, they'll throw you out quick. Mm-hmm. But when you sign that little paper, you're really turning your life over to the Army.
Yeah.
To do whatever they want to do. And see, when you get in Christ, you're no more your own. He said, I bought you with a price, mm-hmm. a high price.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. His life. And most people forget that in the Bible, that I've been bought
yes.
with a price. I'm mm-hmm. no more my own. You know, and sometimes they forget that and they want to go their own way. But they don't realize that Jesus is not trying to cramp anybody's life.
No.
Like the world tell you. When you're a Christian, you can't do nothing. God is trying to get you to the abundance of
yeah.
life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you really just look into it. I tell the Lord, I have to remind myself, hey, I'm no more my own. I've been bought with the price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I can't go anywhere I want to go. Can't do anything I want to do. It's a price. I've been bought.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
But it was my, I was drawn by the Spirit, but mm-hmm. I said yes.
Yes, you mm-hmm. did.
And some people forget that they give their soul to God.
Mm-hmm.
They still think, well, I gave my soul to God, but I still want to do what I want to do. No, you've got to realize yeah. that you've been bought with a price.
Amen. Amen. We're going to stop here, okay?
What we do, we're reversing it.
We're reversing it.
Okay, reversing it today, not another day. But you can just still introduce Candice and then.
Next is running in the way I know.
And then we're thirsty. We're thirsty. We get out of the community for the people that don't have it. I don't have it, Sister Candice don't have it.
No.
Oh.